This week's Sedra contains the Tochacha, the lengthy rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people, warning them what would happen if they didn't keep the Torah. And there are 98 curses in that Tochacha. And towards the end of it, it says the following. Gam kol choli v'chol maka asher lo kasu b'sefer ha-Torah hazos. Sicknesses and plagues that are not written in this Torah, Yaleim Hashem Alecha, God will bring upon you Ad Yishtamdach, until he destroys you. The Sfarim bring down Yonasan Abishitz, amongst others, that this, which is the Kol Maka Kol Choli V'Kol Maka Asher Lo Kasu B'Sefer HaTorah Zos, not included in those 98, is like the worst of all, is Siluk HaTzadikim, when Tzadikim die. God will take away the Tzadikim. Now, Rabbi Shaya Pick points out that there is really no source that says that. There's no Medrash, there's no Gemara that says that. And he says humorously that the source is also Lo Kasu B'Sefer HaTorah Zos. The source is also not written in the Torah anywhere. However, the Shilas and Chubas Tiferes Zvi says that the source of this is in a Zohar. But if you look at the Zohar, it's not really a source. It's just a very subtle allusion to this. The Zohar is talking about Tzadikim dying, and it says there, is there anywhere in the Torah it speaks about that? So it's very similar to this, but it's not relating it to this sentence. I did find a Yalkut Shimoni in Yeshaya, which also doesn't say exactly this idea, but it's very, very similar. The Yalkut Shimoni says the following: Koshes tilukon shel tzadikim lifnei misha amar v'hayu ha'olam mimeya tochacho shebemishnah Torah u'michurban beis hamikdash. It says the death of tzadikim is more serious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the 100 tochachos in this parsha and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. De'ilu b'tochachos, by the tochachos it says, the hifla Hashem es makoscha. God will make your plagues, your punishments wondrous. And the Churban Beis HaMikdash says v'terid ployim, you will go down wondrously. Aval b'silukan shal tzadikim ksiv, when it talks about the death of tzadikim, it says hine Yosef lahafli es ha'am hazeh hafli b'fele, that God will take away the wise ones, right, the wisdom of the wise ones, and that's hafli b'fele, that's wonder of wonders. So in this parsha where it says the 100 tochachos, 98 really, and it says that what's it called, the hifla Hashem, God will make them wondrous, the destruction of tzaddikim is even greater than that. So it could be that that's a source where it says even the ones that aren't written here are included in addition to those 98, and that's based on this Yalkut Shimoni. In any case, so exactly where the source for this is not clear, but it's brought down, and there are some indirect sources to the idea. Now, what does it mean? So let me tell you first an array of different opinions, and I'll tell you what I think it means. The Rav Moshe Vali, who was the student of Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, he says that when you warn somebody about something specific, so he knows at least what he's dealing with. But when you warn him and don't be specific, you just say, watch out, because if you don't behave right, you're going to get it. Then the person, it's a much stronger, what's it called, a much stronger warning. Right? The threat is much stronger. In fact, there is I think it's a Sefer Hasidim that says that a person should never threaten a child with something that is not specific. Because the child, once happened that a father told his child, if you don't behave, right? You're really going to get it. And the child fantasized in his mind what the father meant and committed suicide. So if you're going to threaten somebody, at least threaten them with something specific so they don't go overboard and imagine things that are much worse. So therefore, the Torah wanted to warn us about Siluka Tzadikim. It said it in such a way that we should realize it's really terrible by not defining the threat. When you don't define the threat, it's even worse. Ramotul Pargamansky says that there are the threats of the 98 threats are real. So they find their place in the Torah. In other words, if you don't keep the Torah, you're going to get them. And if you keep the Torah, they won't happen. But there are certain threats that can never happen. They're not real. Those are threats that are existential to the Jewish people. In other words, the Jewish people can never be destroyed. So if the threat is a one of our total destruction, then it's really not that serious because it can't happen. That's what happened with Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai told Esther, if you won't go to the king, then salvation will come to the Jewish people from somewhere else. How was he so sure? He says, because since Haman wanted to destroy everybody, that's impossible. So if you don't do it, you have the opportunity now to be the one to bring this salvation. If you don't want to do it, so it's going to come somewhere else because it's impossible the Jewish people should be destroyed, and you'll just lose out. That's what he told her. So in any case, therefore, what's it called? It wasn't written in the Torah because it's not real. It's not really substantial. It's just, like we said, a threat. But it doesn't specify what it is, because if we specify, then we know it can't happen. Because we can't totally be destroyed, and without tzaddikim, if it means just in general, God is going to take away all tzaddikim, the Jewish people can't exist without tzaddikim. So that threat is really an empty threat. So therefore, in order to make it serious, the Torah didn't specify what it was, and an unspecified threat, you fantasize who knows what, and also it didn't say it because the real threat is, it can't be. Rav Yitzchak Kunshtadt said a different idea. He says, it says in the Torah that everybody dies for their own sin. Yet when it comes for tzaddikim, who are taken away because of the sins of the people, right, of the community, so they're dying for somebody else's sin. So that's not written in the Torah. The Torah speaks about people dying for their own sins. It doesn't speak about people dying for other people's sins. So therefore, it's a threat that's not in the Torah. Somebody, the Alkut Gershoni, says a similar idea. He says that a balchov, a person who is a lender, right, somebody who owes somebody money, so the person who is owed the money, right, can collect it from ziburis, from the least quality land. Now, the person has no money to pay, but he has land. So the person who owns the debt can go collect his debt from the land of the person. He can only collect it from ziburis. From, if he sold that field to somebody else, he can collect it, but only, he can't collect a good field, a quality field. He can only collect it from a poor quality field. Okay. So here, God is collecting the debt of the Jewish people from the tzaddikim. So that's not the way the Torah says. The Torah says to collect from the least quality, he's collecting from the best quality. So it's also not written in the Torah, that idea. The Divrei Shaul says the following. He says that there's a Yerushalmi that says the following. They asked Chochma, what happens to a person who sins? And he said, a person who sins dies. They asked the Navi, right, the prophet, what happens to a person who sins? He gets punished for a sin. They asked the Torah, what happens to a person who sins? Says, let him bring a sacrifice and atone for the sin. They asked the Rabban Shalom, and he said, let him do tshuva. Only the Rabban Shalom had this concept of tshuva. The tochacha, the curses and admonitions in Vayikra were said directly by God. The ones in Devarim were said by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a wise prophet. In Vayikra, it's God talking through the Torah. Okay? So, when it comes to Vayikra, it says that tzaddikim, v'koshlu ish biyachiv, that sometimes God will take away tzaddikim as a carbon for the people, as a sacrifice for the people. And it also mentions over there that you can do tshuva. But in the admonitions in this week's Sedra, which were said by Moshe, who was a chacham and a navi, tshuva is not mentioned. Neither is this idea that somebody could be a sacrifice for the rest of the people. Because when it came to chachma and nevuah, they didn't know about sacrifices and tshuva. Only God knew. So when God gave the tochacha, he included tshuva and the sacrifice of tzaddikim for the sake of the tzibur. When Moshe gave it, he didn't mention tshuva and didn't mention that tzaddikim can be taken away for the sake of the tzibur. So it's not mentioned openly, it's just hinted to. That's what he says, the Divrei Shaul. The Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, what's it called? First of all, the Noda Behuda says that the death of tzaddikim is mentioned in every book of the Torah except this one, except the last one. Meaning up until Kisavo, because it is mentioned in the last one, in Moshe Rabbeinu died. In Bereishis, it speaks about a lot of tzaddikim dying. Avraham, Yisro, Yaakov, Yosef all die in Bereishis. In Shmos, right, it speaks again about the death of all the Shvatim. Vayomas Yosef, Echol Echol, Echol Adorahu. So it speaks right away about the Misa of Tzadikim. In Vayikra, it speaks about the Misa of Nadav and Avihu. Right, they die in Vayikra. In Bamidbar, it speaks about the death of Miriam and the death of Aram. In Devarim, up until Kisavo, there's no mention of the death of any Tzadik. So that's what it says, right? Even the curses that are written in this book, meaning the book of Devarim, which is the death of Tzadikim, that also is included. That's why it says not written in this book. The Meshech Chachma adds a dimension to that. He says it's not even really written in the book of Devarim. Because it says the last eight sentences, which start from Vayoma Shem Moshe, how could Moshe write, he died when he wasn't dead? So it wasn't written by Moshe, it was written by Yoshua. Yoshua wrote the last eight sentences of the Torah. So it's the death of Tzadikim is not mentioned bichlal in Sefer Devarim. Right? It's only mentioned in the other four books. I have a little bit of a question on that, because in Devarim it mentions the death of Aaron, but it's only as remembering it, not as that actually happened then. The Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector says another reason why it couldn't mention the death of Tzadikim openly as one of the curses. He says, because if it said it in the beginning as one of the first ones, it would imply that it's really so light and they get worse and worse as you go on. And the death of Tzadikim is one of the more serious plagues, one of the serious curses. If it said it at the end of them, it also wouldn't be right, because it says that Tzadik is taken away before the Tzaras happen. So you shouldn't witness them. So it couldn't put it in the beginning, because it would seem that it's light and the other ones are more serious. Couldn't put it in the end, because it's not true. He doesn't die after the Tzaras, he dies before the Tzaras. So therefore it couldn't mention it openly. Okay, those are some of what people say about this Maimar Chazal. Let me explain to you now what I think it means and why it's alluded to and not written in the Torah, the death of Tzadik. Let's first discuss the purpose of these tochachos. Right? Why did the Rav Shem write all these terrible threats of what's going to happen if we don't keep the Torah? Okay, basically, God wasn't interested in actually bringing this to fruition. He just wanted to warn us so that we would keep the Torah, we'd be afraid to not keep it, and we benefit by keeping the Torah. So the threats were there not to carry out, really, but to affect the fact that we should keep the Torah and not have to carry them out. That was the purpose. That's what it says in next week's Sedra. Atem nitzavim hayom. You heard 98 curses, and God's intention is not to destroy you. You're still around. You did a lot of bad things. The purpose of these curses is not to destroy you, but to warn you and to threaten you, so you'll watch yourself and you won't do the things that could incur these terrible things. And that's why it's interesting. There are two mountains. On one mountain they gave the curses, that was Har Eva. And on one mountain they gave the blessings, that was Har Gerizim. And God said to build an altar on one of the mountains and bring sacrifices of Shlamim and be happy. Eat the meat, right, and celebrate. Now, if I were to ask you, which mountain do you think they made the altar on, brought these sacrifices, and rejoiced? You would tell me the mountain where the bracha was given. It's not like that. The korban was made on Har Evo, on the mountain where the curses were given. Why? Because the purpose of the curses is to scare you into doing what's good for you, that you'll get the bracha. People are more motivated by threats than by the stick, than by the carrot. So the fact that the Torah promises all these brachas is very nice, but people, when they in the heat of doing an Aveira, they say, you know what, I'll forget about the bracha, I like to enjoy myself. But if they know that they're going to get punished, terrible punishments, then that helps to control your Yetzer Hara, because you don't want to get punished. So which is more effective, the threat of punishment or the promise of reward? The threat of punishment is much more effective. And when a person has Yirah Shamayim and he does what's right, even though it emanates from fear, but that's the greatest simcha. That's the greatest, what's it called, joy and celebration, is knowing that because you have that fear, you're doing what's right. So therefore the altar was built on the mountain where the threats were given, where the klolos were given, because ultimately that had the greater, what's it called, and more satisfying effect. And that's what it says on Rosh Hashanah. It says that we don't rejoice on Rosh Hashanah and say Hallel, because Sifrei Chayim, the Sifrei Meisim, Psukim Lefanav, the books of life and the books of death. The book of life gives you the carrot. Oh, look what you can do if you do what's right. The book of death reminds you the stick. And because there's the balance, right, it's a somber mood, but we eat and we drink and we get dressed up nicely because we're confident that everything's going to be okay. What makes us confident? Not the books of life, the books of death. Since we're afraid and we're intimidated and we're warned and threatened, everything will come out okay, because that will be enough to motivate us to do what's right. If that's the case, we should be pretty confident that God's going to make everything work out for the good. Okay. Now, it says in Rosh Hashanah on 18b, Mises Sadikim Shokel Kechurban Beis HaMikdash. How do I know that? Because there are four fast days that are concerned with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There's Asar B'Teves, when they made the siege around Yerushalayim, the Babylonians. There's Shivasar B'Tammuz, when they broke through the walls. And there's Tisha B'Av, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. There's one more, Tzom Gedalia. What happened then? Gedalia was killed by Yishmael ben Netanya, a Jew, killed him. Okay, and because of that, the Jewish people eventually left Eretz Israel, were dispersed, because Gedalia was like the leader set up by the Babylonians, and most Jews remained in Eretz Israel after the Churban. But after Gedalia was killed, then they felt threatened by the nation of the world, they ran away to Babel. So it says that the death of Tzadikim is equal to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because you have four fast days. One of them is because of a Tzadik who was killed, and the other three were the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You see, they're equal. The Gemara, however, so that all seems, from everything I've said till now, it seems like the death of Tzadikim is a makkah. It's a curse. Right? At least a threat of something negative. Yet the Gemara says in Moikotin on 28b, Nisus Tzadikim Mechaper Kippur Aduma, Kibig De Kahuna. That the death of Tzadikim is an atonement. It purifies and atones like the Paraduma. That's why the death of Miriam is right after the Parsha Paraduma. Just like the Paraduma, purifies a person from defilement of death and atones for the sin of the golden calf, so too the death of Tzadikim purifies and atones. So it seems like it's a positive thing, not a negative thing. And it says also that the death of Aaron is right next to where it speaks about his clothing, the clothing of the Kohanim. Just like the clothing of the Kohanim atone for various sins, the death of Tzadikim also atone for various sins. So on the surface, I would say the following, that when a Tzadik dies, pure, sinless, like Miriam and Aaron, then their death is an atonement. But when the tzaddik isn't sinless, right, and then he's killed because of the sins of the community, and he had a part in them because he didn't protest or he didn't teach them properly, so he's not completely innocent, then it's not a kapara, then it's a makkah. You can't say that. Because there's another source that the death of tzaddikim is mechaper. The fact that the death of Nadav and Avihu, who were killed because they brought strange fire, is right next to the kapara of Yom Kippur. So you see that the death of tzaddikim, and those tzaddikim did something wrong. They weren't totally innocent. And yet their death is also a kapara. And in fact, they say, why do you need two sources? Why do you need to learn from Miriam that the death of tzaddikim, what's it called, and Aaron, that the death of tzaddikim atones, and from Nadav and Avihu? So they say like this, if it would only be from Miriam, I would say only a perfect tzaddik who died with the kiss of death from God is mechaper. But tzaddikim who died because they sinned, right, that wouldn't be included. Therefore, Nadav and Avihu tells me no. Even the death of tzaddikim who sinned are mechaper. And if I only had Nadav and Avihu, I would say it's only men tzaddikim that die because they have so many more mitzvahs. But women who have less mitzvahs, their death, a tzaddikus, doesn't atone. Comes Miriam and tells me no, that even the death of a woman is mechaper. And therefore, I want to say the following. So we have two different sources. We have sources that say that the death of tzaddikim is a kapara, a positive thing. It's an atonement, it's a purification. And then it says that the death of tzaddikim is a makkah. It's a curse. It's a punishment. So which is it? The answer, I think, is very simple. If when somebody dies, a tzaddik, people take to heart that something missing, they appreciate the tzaddik, they appreciate what's missing and try to emulate that tzaddik. So if people are inspired, moved by the death of the tzaddik, and they do tshuva, and they are strengthened, and they learn from what's missing by the tzaddik to try and make up for the loss, so then the death of the tzaddik, what's it called, is an atonement and a purification. And then, when the tzaddik dies, before the tzaras happen, they help to avoid the evil coming because it's an atonement for the Jewish people. Now that they're atoned for, the tzara won't happen. So sometimes the tzaddik dies before the tzara as an atonement, and that stops the tzara from coming. The people learn the lesson from it. And that's like Parah Aduma. What does Parah Aduma do? Parah Aduma purifies from the tumah of death, and it atones. What's the idea of death? Death, tumas meis, separates between a person and God. Because when a person is attached to God, he's attached to life. If he's separated from God, he's separated from life. So all sin is a kind of death. And therefore, when a person comes in contact with death, which is a separation from God, it makes him tummy, separates him. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can't eat karbanos. And what brings back his life, what attaches him back to God, you burn that part. The Parah Aduma is a symbol of the ego, of the intermediary between God and man that separates between God and man. But even more than that, it says that the ego was supposed to be a substitute for Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a tzaddik, right? The Jewish people came to Aaron and they said, make us a god or a power that will walk in front of us, because we don't know what happened to Moshe. They understood the purpose of a tzaddik is to go in front of them and do it for them. And not to teach them, not to inspire them. The tzaddik does it. He goes in front of us. Like an eagle. So we need a power that'll do it for us. So they made an eagle. That was a mistake. The tzaddik doesn't do it for you. There's a Gemara that says that if you have someone sick in your home, you should go to a chacham, to a talmid chacham, to a tzaddik, and he'll pray for the sick person. So the Nemuke Yosef learns it simply. That's what it means. You go to the tzaddik and he'll pray for the sick person. The Meiri says, no, that's not what it means. If you have somebody sick in your home, go to the tzaddik and he'll teach you how to pray for the sick person. He won't do it for you. Until he'll teach you, and the sick person is still sick, he may do it for you. But he doesn't have a direct line to God. You have the same line, except you have to know how to dial. He knows how to dial, teach you how to dial. Until he teaches you how to dial, he'll dial for you. But the ma'aseh, the purpose of the tzaddik, and that's why, what is the kapara of the chet ha'egel? The chet ha'egel says we need people who are intermediary, separate between us and God. And then you're separated from God. And that's a kind of death that brings tumas mesa, brings misa to the world. When you want to revive yourself and come back alive, what do? You bring the mother of the eagle. What does the mother show? What's the purpose of a mother? A mother also does it for the child. She nurses the child and feeds him. She carries him. But that's not the goal. The goal is not that the mother should carry his kid for the rest of his life and nurse him. The goal is that she should teach him how to eat, teach him how to walk. Until he can, she'll do it for him. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to train him to do it. That's the idea. The idea is not the ego, the power that does it for you. It's like the mother who teaches you how to do it. And therefore, they bring the Parah Aduma, the mother, and they put it in fire, right? Because that's what Torah is. Torah is fire. You enlighten the person. And then they mix it with water, the living water, right? Water is a symbol of life. So you have the fire, the light of Torah, and the life of Torah. You take the cedar tree, and which represents a person who thinks he's too great, and the hyssop, the weed that represents people who think they're too little, and you have to have some self-esteem, you can't be haughty, and you take the shni tolas, the dyed wool, red wool, and you, that represents sin, you burn it all, and you put it on that living water, and that purifies the person from Tumas Mace. In fact, that was the lesson they were supposed to learn when Miriam died. Miriam died, there was no more water. Moshe was supposed to speak to the rock and say, you don't need to hit the rock, you don't need punishments. Everything does God's will automatically. And if Moshe would have spoken to the rock and the rock brought water automatically, the people would have said, this rock doesn't get rewarded or punished. And it does God's will automatically, we should too. And then they would understand that the tzaddik, the purpose of the tzaddik is to teach them how to do it. Not to do it for them. But Moshe hit the rock. It's meaning that you see, you need a hit, get hit. So then what happened? Moshe had to die. And now they would learn from Moshe's death to appreciate him, to do tshuva or whatever as they did in the end. So the whole process of Parah Aduma is in fact one of purification and atonement. And when a tzaddik dies, if you understand and take it to heart, what the tzaddik is, what he's supposed to do, he's supposed to learn from him, he's supposed to teach you and enlighten you. And if he's gone, then you have to, make up for it. The Mikta Meliyahu says even more than that. It says that the reason that all of these destructions come is because even if we keep the Torah, we just keep it by rote. From the lip service. We don't really mean it. Okay, says the Mikta Meliyahu, you know what contributes to that? To keep the Torah by rote and not really mean it? Because we rely on tzaddikim. They think for us. And we don't have to think. Then God says, if that's the case, I'm going to take away the tzaddikim and you're going to have to think for yourself. The whole idea of going to a tzaddik for advice, for das Torah, is not that he should think for you. He should present you with a model of information that you can make the choice, but you are the one who has to make the choice. He doesn't do it for you. He provides you with enough information and enough inspiration and guidance to make the right choice. He doesn't make the choice for you. But if you rely on the tzaddik to make the choice for you, then you end up keeping Yiddishkeit in a very rote way, right? Just lip service. So then God takes away the tzaddikim, and then you're forced to think for yourself. So it all fits the same idea. And then same thing with the Big Day Kahuna, the clothing of the Kohen. The Kohen is supposed to inspire you, and he wears all this inspiring clothing, right? Attractive clothing that's supposed to make you think. And that's the atonement for the various sins that each clothing represents. So therefore the death of a tzaddik is like Parah Aduma, right? That's supposed to teach you the purpose of a tzaddik is. And like Big Day Kahuna, where the tzaddik himself teaches you specific mitzvahs or whatever. And that's why the death of tzaddikim is not necessarily a punishment. it may be a kapara, it may be an atonement and a purification, it's a bracha, right, if you use it properly. And that's why the tzaddik goes before the tzara happens, in order to avoid the tzara. But if the tzaddik dies and you don't learn any lesson from it, you don't take the musr, then the death of the tzaddik is in itself a makkah, right? And then the tzaddik was taken away because now the tzara is going to happen. He shouldn't have to see it. So it really depends on us whether the tzara is a makkah or not. All the makos were just meant to warn you and to scare you. But this one isn't meant to warn you or scare you, because it may not even be a makkah. You have the ability to turn it into a bracha. A tzaddik can have to die. They don't live forever. But when a tzaddik dies, it may be a bracha for you. So it can't be written in this book. This book of Devarim is rebuke. The death of tzaddikim is not necessarily a rebuke. It may be a bracha that you can learn positive things from and make it an atonement. If you don't, then it's a rebuke. Then it's a punishment. But it's up to you. All the other things are taka, rebuke, and punishments. You can avoid them if you keep the Torah. But they are punishments. So they're written in Devarim. They are punishments. This one may not be a punishment. It depends on your free choice. And that's why it says that, what's it called? We learn it from that it's a, like a chorban, like a punishment, like the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, from Gedaliah. Because Gedaliah was killed by a Jew who not only wasn't affected by the death of the tzaddik, because he killed him, but he killed him, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the day after Rosh Hashanah, or the day of Rosh Hashanah. He should have been inspired by the tzaddik, by the day, and he wasn't. He ignored it. And that kind of death of a tzaddik, where people don't have any inspiration from it, they don't learn anything from it, that's not like a punishment, like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And even though it says that there's always a tzaddik to take the place of another tzaddik, but l'maisa, the generations go down. And even though there was a second Beis HaMikdash, we still mourn the first one, because everything didn't come back in the second one. There were five things that were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash that existed in the first. The Aron wasn't in the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no Aron. The Luchos inside weren't there. The Kruvim were not there. The fire that came down on the Mizbeach wasn't there. The Shechina wasn't there. Different kind of Shechina. So even though there was a second Beis HaMikdash, even though there are other tzaddikim to take the place of the first tzaddik, but every generation goes down, so there's a qualitative difference. In fact, the Yaros Devash says that just like the Parah Aduma makes people who are Tamei Tahar, and people who are Tahar Tamei, so too the students of the tzaddik lose out when he dies, because they lose out his Torah. They had a connection with him, he's no longer here. The people who weren't his students, but are affected by his death, they go to the funeral and they're affected, so they benefit. The students lose out. So the Tahorim, the people who are connected to the tzaddik, lose out. And the Tmeim, the people who weren't connected before, but after the tzaddik dies, then everybody starts talking about him. All these books are written about him. They benefit, right? And it's a kapara for them. And that's why it's not written. It can't be written as part of the 98 curses, because it may not be a curse. The death of tzaddikim could be a bracha if you use it the proper way. Okay. And this year, many tzaddikim died. I mean, if you remind me of the ones that I didn't mention, Rav Scheinberg, Rav Eliyoshiv, Rav Nosson C. Finkel, Rav Itzin Kanievsky, my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Osband, Isaac Osband, Telzer Rosh Hashiva. I'm sure there were more. There were a lot more tzaddikim. That Rabbi Altuski. Right. Recently. That's a hefty list for 1 year. So it says that after the Klalas, there's an extra week before Rosh Hashanah to let us know that the Klalas are there just to scare you that you'll do what's right. So they're not to destroy you. So if we take the message of these Mises Tzaddikim properly, then we turn that into a bracha. And then we have the week of Nitzavim to turn the other Klalas into a bracha, because the threat, right, will make us have Yirah Shamayim. So then we'll end the year with all its klalos and start a new year with all the brachas that could be, and we'll see the time when takat tzadikim yiru v'yismachu v'yisharim yalozu v'chasidim v'rini yagilu, right? And the time when simcha li'artzecha v'sason li'irecha utzmichas keren l'dovid avdecha v'arichas ner l'ben yishayim yishichecha b'mheir av yomim.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Now the people who go to shul or they read the Torah at home, they speaking to the converted, it's reminding them, because they've heard it, I don't know, so many times, year after year. Now they speak to the converted. What about those that are not listening?
Okay. The truth is that the stronger the people are who are the converted, it has an effect on people who are far away. And also, you never know who comes in contact with these people, and the stronger they are, the more they can maybe say a nice word, and you never know who you're going to influence if you're influenced yourself. So it has a trickle-down domino effect.